Well, we'd like to welcome everyone here to our school board meeting tonight. All five of you wonderful people, we appreciate you being here and...
And you're echoing.
I'm sorry, but you're in for a special treat tonight as our opening ceremony. Stacy, are you ready to sing to us tonight?
Stacy, yay!
Today she pulled a joke on me and wasn't truthful and told me she was putting up the Christmas tree and I fell for it. And so I thought it was only fitting that she sing Jingle Bells since that'll be snowing before we leave. Yeah. Would you like to come forth now? Just kidding. No, we really are happy to have you here tonight and we'd like to begin our meeting by having our future board member that will come on board before a couple months if she'll lead us in the pledge.
Unless there is a mighty massive
grading
campaign, and if you're planning on it, then
shame on you. Lynn and
it's
I feel the
anyway.
Same way.
It's too late anyway, because they have to register before now.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Have a happy time. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Connie. Appreciate that. We'd like to... Do we have any public comment? I guess I could ask all five and wouldn't have that. We have our PTA, Jennifer Bishop. If you'd like to come and report on the PTA, appreciate that. Thank you for being here.
The PTA has, instead of doing everything paper, we do everything, our reports and everything are all filed online. So we're working on getting that going, and we have a lot that come to our monthly meetings. So we're very excited to get
things moving. And a lot of schools are getting
reflections going. Reflections for council are due in November, and then we'll have our council award in January.
Do you have a date on that yet?
We're looking towards the end. We're looking at two dates, so we don't have an exact date yet, but towards the end of January.
That'd be great.
And what days do you have your monthly meetings on?
They're the second Wednesday at 10.
In the conference room.
Wednesday. So is that going to be true for November?
Yes.
And will you do the same thing for in December, or will you cancel December?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
What's the theme of the
reflections
this year? Do you that meant?
I do know that. If it comes to my brain, I'd be able to tell you.
Well, that's all right. If it happens to come to you, just raise your hand and we'll call on you. That's great.
And then we have our legislative luncheon. That will be November 13th. And with that, it's from 12 to 1:30.
That's Tuesday?
Yeah.
Do you want to let you know if we're going to be able to go to that?
Yeah. Because I will have the council will pay for it for whoever wants to come out of the Logan district.
If you could let Stacy know, then Stacy will make the call to Jennifer.
Okay.
So we're just trying to get Logan represented. So more the merrier.
Okay.
So I think that it's a
okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Jennifer. Okay, Elsa's asked to be excused from the classified, and I don't see Lee here or anyone. So, I think we'll go to that handsome young man in the back, Eric Markworth, who represents the District Administration Association.
Thank you. I haven't been called handsome in a long time.
Well, we think you are.
At least you apparently have been called handsome at one point.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Just a few brief things. As far as the Administrative Association, we have met together monthly with Marshall, going back to the beginning of the summer, and had great discussions there. Many great things have come out of those discussions. The big thing that we're working on right now, and I take full responsibility, our general membership, we had a meeting scheduled, and then you know how administrator schedules are. We had parent-teacher conference at the high school and some other things that happened. So we did approve at that, that we would approve steps for our administrators who had not received steps in the last couple years. But that did leave us some money left over. 50% of that money was taken out for performance. And so we are still, that's what we have not decided as an administrative association, is what we will do and how that 15% will be disseminated to our membership. So we have many ideas and options on the table, one of those being maybe bank that money for next year. And some other ideas are defining what performance will look like for our administrators. Another option could be just looking at, based on those performance criteria, dividing that money among the 14 administrators that we do have. So so you can tell that it's still kind of, we just still haven't decided what to do with that, and we're still kind of unsure what the best way to do that equitably and fairly. There's a certain group of administrators that, you know, that are still young enough that we still qualify for steps, and I just want to tell you that the administrators that other than those couple, have been so selfless in the way that they have looked at the money situation with that, saying, we got ours when we were in your position, so we want to make sure that you get what you can at this point in your career. So I've just been very impressed with the administrators and how selfless they have been. Other than that, we're working on the IBB process, and I was unable to make the meeting on Monday yesterday, but Dave Long was there representing our administrative association, and it sounds like we're continuing to look at the RIF policy for all three associations, and then we're also looking at the sick bank. That's the other issue that we are looking at to help our employees at all associated levels if they ever need kind of giving up. Maybe I have 10 sick days, maybe getting up one of my sick days, put it in the bank in case somebody needs that. We feel like that's a real positive thing for employees. So that's all I have. Do you have any questions?
I think that's a great, that's a great plan. I know when last place I worked, you know, we had the opportunity to do that, and I seen one young man who had come down with cancer, and because of all the donated things that have been given to him, just there, was able to. Oh, what a blessing it was for him! It's a great thing. Good.
We have, I think, widespread support among the three associations on that.
Yeah, it's good.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
Okay, we now have the consent calendar. Has everyone had an opportunity to view that? And if so, do I have a motion to accept that?
I would move approval of the consent calendar.
I'd second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Ann Geary that we accept the consent calendar, and seconded by Jim. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. We'll now have action items on our school improvement plans. And Marshall, if you'd like to lead us in that.
We had the presentations by all of the schools at our work session earlier in the month. Since then, we've been able to, because of the change in the community council voting process, many of them at that point had not had final work with their community councils on final approval. That process has now occurred. You have in front of you the changes that were done, as well as the signature pages. And within this document, you also have the budgets as they are approved at this point. By state statute, actually in the next two, we have two action items, the first and the second. Those both have to be
done by the end of this month in order for us to make our report to the State Office of Education. So are there any questions as you've gone through again with on either part that you've seen? One of the things as we were talking this afternoon with President Hobbs is the listing that we have from the community council members is great if you can read their names. And,
well, I mean, it would be nice to see if it's parent or a teacher,
right,
or
and that will actually come as they're doing their November report, which we will allow, we'll get to you, but it's not due until the end of November where they have to do everything in that, and we didn't want to do a duplication. So we will provide you with the exact names that you can actually read and their positions and who they are. Once that, I believe it's the November 15th deadline, they have to get it in. Once that's done and that approval occurs, we will have that as an information item to you as a board, as board members.
We know, I noticed a few of them printed their names, which I thought was very helpful.
Yes.
Yeah. it was
definitely.
I don't know about how you felt.
Oh, yeah, you could.
I could.
There was no way.
Some of them might be doctors.
We have a whole lot of doctors on this, and because there were a lot of them that were very, very difficult to read. Yeah. What we will probably do for as the interim, they switched the dates for the trust lands reports. It used to be due at the same time, and it's not now. And because of the changes in the timing, we didn't feel it was to the best interest of the community councils to push that date up as well. So that's why you'll see it's kind of bifurcated this amount now, and then we'll have the information items. Because that part, it doesn't have to be voted on, but you just have to have it as information to the board.
Any other questions? If not, I'd accept a motion to accept the, I guess we better do them separate, shouldn't we? This school improvement plan first.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Fred Dersch that we accept the school improvement plan. So we have a second.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Christy Cooley. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion carries. We also need action on improvement of the school trust lands budgets.
So moved.
Okay, it's been moved by Christy Cooley that we accept the school trust lands budgets as presented and seconded by Jim Blair. Those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Just so everyone's aware, we had a work study 2 weeks ago where we went over these plans in depth for...
Each school had an opportunity to present. We had opportunity to have the board question the schools on what they were. The board had the materials about a week in advance to be able to review each school, each of the eight schools.
So that's the reason we're not going into in-depth to them, because we have already done that. So you're aware of that.
And if I might just say, I thought... Since I've been on the board, I thought that was a very, very good year for school improvement plans. I felt really good about all of them. Some years it's been questionable on a few, but this year they're just really rising to the top, and I think in doing the intent that they were meant to be.
The involvement in each of the schools, each eight of the schools with their community councils, with their staff.
I liked that Ellis had every teacher sign off on it as well.
It's been exciting to see, and our schools need to be complimented on the work that they're doing, because they've made these living documents. These are not just something that are put away. They are utilizing them on a daily basis to ensure that there is improvement at their school.
Well, the trust fund monies are reflecting that.
Yes.
And obviously, you can see a correlation between that. Before, there's been some disconnect between the trust fund money spending and the school improvement plan. So it's nice
and
to
now
see a correlation
connected
between the two.
One thing we might want to do, as I reviewed them again, is change our LTMs from literacy team meetings to some other name, because they discuss their math in their literacy team meeting as well. You know what I'm
but
saying?
They actually are still, the primary reason for that is the literacy. And I think, Eric, I know that that's been... We had some discussion on that and felt that it was still a more appropriate title than
because
it is.
Most elementaries reference that they would be looking at their math data in their literacy team meetings or something like that. So I just...
We really are careful to try to emphasize that literacy time as much as we can. And there is some math discussion in there, but I would still say the majority of the time is still
Okay, good.
Okay. We now need action on the first reading of our board ethics policy. Marsha will present that, but we need to commend Ann. We appreciate Ann has been working on this and just want you to know.
Tremendous amount of effort.
We appreciate that. So, Marsha, if you
again, as the process for this, it's been a while since we've had a policy come through. You'll notice it is broken into the purpose, the references, the definitions, if there are any, policy, and then procedure with backup materials. And the backup materials that we utilized were from our discussion actually about 4 years ago that we had not finalized some things on. So it includes USBA information, some information from other districts, as well as some items that Fred shared with us as we had those initial discussions. We felt it was, as we're looking through and we're trying to do a timeline, that this was an important policy to make sure that there's a clarity, there's an expectation on master boards to be able to make sure that this is in place. And so that's why we felt that the timing on this was important to get completed prior to the end of this calendar year, so that we will be able to reflect it in our report to the USBA.
122.
So as you look at the process, again, as first reading, we, and again, compliments and kudos to Ann for putting it together, because we talked about things and about how we could put this together, and her vision on this is, you can see that the policy is really in that section four. Mm-hmm. But we felt that there was a real need for the procedures portion, to where we were really looking at, you know, how do we have communications? You with me, myself with you, you with members of the community, you with members of district staff. What are some things that would be expected under those, in case there was a comment made? So it's a very clear, transparent process that if, for example, someone comes to you with a complaint about an individual employee, there is a specific process that you have to follow in order to ensure that you are not having to recuse yourself in a potential situation later on if there was to be a hearing on that person. And so it's very clear to the public, to our employees, as well as to the board, as to where those boundaries are, so that you're not put into a corner. And that was one of the major impacts that we saw. You'll notice that under procedures, the 5.1 section, there are two different possible ways of looking at that.
I took it out because you didn't get back to me,
okay.
So it's not on there.
Okay, because I was going on the one.
I didn't leave the or in there,
all right.
So the or so part's gone.
If you're not feeling comfortable with how the 5.1 section is written, we have some suggestions as to how we could also deal with that.
But it actually, if I could just make a few comments.
Yes.
First of all, I've already gone through it and created a draft two. And the questions, do we want it to be the board ethics, or do we want to have it as a code of conduct?
It's been used, those terms have been used
synonymously,
depending on district.
Marsha listed it on the agenda as a code of conduct. I put down board ethics. In my draft two, I did code of conduct. What's your preference on that?
Well, I think it's really more than board of ethics. I really think it's code of conduct.
Okay, let's change that then.
Right.
To
that's my opinion.
Well, and I kind of think, and that's what we're encouraged to do, to be master boardsmanship. It's referred to in the code and a few things as well. And then if you look at 4.1.B, that wording I borrowed from someplace. You know how I look at all kinds of things. The wording is that second line that says, and duties that only legally can be exercised by a quorum of the board. So let me read the whole one. Board members collectively constitute a government agency with powers, responsibilities, and duties that only legally can be exercised by a quorum of the board. Do you like that? Or, and duties that can legally only be exercised by a quorum of the board.
Which one are you on again, Ann?
I'm at 4.1.B. It sounds more legalese when you say that only legally can be exercised, but it's maybe more clear when it's duties that can legally only be exercised.
We don't want to sound like attorneys anyways.
So I think we should change that, and then, of course, and then under... So it, instead of only legally, it would be can legally only.
Okay.
Can legally only.
Probably sounds
I would also like to change on 5.2, I think rather than communications, change it to communication rather than...
5.2?
Yeah, 5.2, that whole section would be just be listed as communication.
Yeah.
And are you comfortable with the description? That section actually, the communication section actually came from one of those, well, several of those handouts that we get from Marshall that talk about how boards function well. And I thought, you know, we've never had it so specifically written down, but I know when I was a new board member, and every once in a while, I need to be reminded that that's the proper order of doing things rather than me barreling into something and calling people and asking questions, that this is the proper way to communicate. Does anybody have any grief with any of that, the way it's written or what's written down there? None of it is unique to us.
The only thing I was wondering about was the five, I'm sorry, my iPad's dead. 5.2A3, I just don't think that, I just don't really like the no surprises phrase.
Okay. And that I added.
I would like to take the no surprises out and
okay.
And make it.
It's already implied anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So 5.2.8.3, board members give staff members time for preparation by informing the superintendent of issues before board meeting.
Yeah.
No surprises.
Yeah.
And frankly, I put that in there just so we all knew what that meant.
Yeah.
And that's something
well,
that
ways, it... I kind of like that. I mean, it does sort of strike you as being... It stands out. And that's one of the things that, when I read it the first time, it kind of shocked me a little bit. But at the same time, it's really... I mean, it highlights what that means.
Well, and that's one that I did write it myself. I took it from several different things because, you know, I think we all learned as new board members that we came to a meeting and said, what about this, Zane, or what about this question? And it's something that because there hasn't been time to do any research on, and especially depending on... And we all have learned, if you're going to bring something up in a board meeting that's a major question... give the superintendent a heads up so he can do a little bit of research. Otherwise, you just can bring it up, and that's all that happens with it.
I personally like the no surprises in there simply because that's kind of what, you know, from the first, I remember
and
we were taught that
training
first.
When you went to
yeah,
the state
make
training.
Sure there's no surprises, and that just reiterates what that means. I don't know. To me, it just...
I don't have a problem with the no surprises comment as much as I have a problem with it being... dash no surprises. I would like to say,
do you want
to ensure that there are no surprises, or just
okay.
to complete the sentence.
Okay, I will re
to verify there to
I will reword that one. Yes, I will make it a complete sentence.
Exactly. That sort of thing. I'm sorry.
Okay, and then the other one that I, as I went through it, because you have to redo these a bunch of times, on 5.2.8.3, it should be when an employee, not when a employee.
What was that again?
5.2.8.3.
Okay.
It's
notice in my, at least
oh,
on mine.
That should be, there are two of those. It
there
should
are
be
two
five
sections of A,
oh,
and then
I,
so
okay.
It should
I've
be A, B, and C.
I got to redo my numbers.
So that second section of A actually is B, and that B section is actually C.
You're right, and that's why,
yeah.
You know, actually, I will go through, and it might be 5.3 instead of 5.2. No, it's all 5.2. Okay.
Yes, yeah, so I'll under 5.
All right, I will redo that.
Under this portion, that is up to the judgment of the board president.
Once she gets to explain, then we'll ask for questions, and then that would be a good time.
Right, my number, and that's why normally we've gone through five or six drafts of this before you ever see it. We're usually to F or G before I change it over to 1 and 2. So I will, this would be one that would be nice if we had it up on the board, but Dave is not here. So I've gone through and made those changes. I'm glad somebody caught the numbering. And
4.1.8, is that how you spell lie, or is it L-Y?
4.1.8,
how do you spell lie?
Lie in its...
The part of the board lie, isn't that L-Y?
No, that lie is lie that's the caustic.
I always use L-Y. Anyway.
So, if you have anything else, I will make up draft 2 with the changes we've talked about, and then it will go to the second reading at our next meeting?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, any questions from the board? Connie, you had a question? Comment?
I just had a question about the word surprises. Is it okay to ask about that?
Sure.
Okay. And one thing was when Christy mentioned about, you know, not having the dash, no surprises, and maybe including the word no surprises in some kind of a sentence that stands alone. Personally, when I think of the word added on to a sentence, like la 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 dash, no surprises, it almost sounds like a surprise is a malicious intent by another board member to cause some, you know, rumbling or something among the members. With the intent to do so, as opposed to accidentally, oh, I didn't mean to surprise you. And
I think it kind of references both of those, because there have been instances, I'll admit even I've done that in the past, you know, sometimes where you bring it, well, especially if it's comment, well, I heard today from a teacher that da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And that at a board meeting when the superintendent hasn't heard it. And then in some boards of education throughout the state, there are some really mean things that go on. And that's one of the things we're trying to say is we don't do mean things to each other.
I think, you know, it's like, I appreciate you allowing me to talk here for a second. It's like, I never believe in people being blindsided, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Going to be coming up for them. I think that you should at least be aware, you know, to say to the superintendent, you know, I can't talk to you much about it right now, but please be aware that I'm going to be bringing up such and such, and, you know, I'll get to it, so that you're not blindsided by it. And, of course, with the other board members, but there are some times where we will blindside people accidentally. And it's just, I guess I'm just as an English person too, I guess the words, no surprises, it's just too picky for me anyhow.
I think by taking out the dash the way that has been suggested, yeah, it will make it flow in the context.
Well,
so
we normally don't do dashes like that.
Right.
I threw that in there partly for discussion. Period.
You
wanted
to show. No intentional blindsiding.
Well, and there's actually a full sentence that says, board members give staff members time for preparation by informing the superintendent of issues before board meeting. And then it says, no surprises. And a semicolon even would be better than a dash there.
Right.
But... so I'll work on that one.
Okay. Again, thank you, Ann, for your work on that. Thank you, Ann.
Okay. Okay, we need a...
And one interesting thing is, in board book, it has complaints, but in my original, it doesn't have that. So I don't know how it changed over, because I went back to the original. So I know it should be complaints, not complaints.
Well,
so
under what?
On
5.2.B.2.
Say that again, Fred.
5.2.B.2.
And see, on the one when I printed it out, it says when a citizen complains to a board member. But on board book, it came out complaints. And it sometimes, it wants to correct things. You know how your iPad wants to correct some things?
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
And so I kept fighting it with that, but I went back to the original, and it does say complains rather than complaints, because I went back to change that. So, yes, I also caught that.
Thanks.
You know, it's interesting as you bring that up today. Today I was having to write some things to UDOT, and every time I'd type in UDOT, it'd come up idiot. It'd keep changing. It was the funniest thing I'd ever had. And I kept doing it, you know, I just put UDOT, but until I put a period behind every what, it would change it automatically. So.
Okay,
so we need to have this action.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait a second, I got a question too.
Yes.
What about 5.2.B.2.C?
Okay, 5. Say that again.
Mm-hmm. There's 5.
5.2.B.C.
The first one.
Okay, there are double. Yeah. There are two of them, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that's because the next one should be all right. So that should be D.
But I just wonder if you should do. I think guard against making promises or divulging confidential information should probably be two separate ones.
Things
instead of one.
Mm-hmm. Making promises, guard against making confidential.
Because that's just saying that you need to.
So there should be a promises line and there should be a confidential.
Should that look,
instead of guard against making commitments for the board as a whole, is that a better statement?
Kind of what it's.
Well, but up above it says, but I this is basically guard against making promises. You know, I'll make sure that happens or doesn't happen. So, and then also, and divulging confidential information.
Yeah. So really needs to be.
And
separate.
It is any time you discuss things, it's really and perhaps those should also be up in other discussions. That when you talk with a district employee, you also guard against making promises or divulging confidential information. So those actually should probably be up above as well, because anytime, you know, anything that's said in a board meeting, in an open board meeting, that's not privileged information anymore.
But
if it's something that has been in a closed session or a heads up notice, there are a lot of things that we just shouldn't divulge. So I will divide those and also add it up between board members and district employees.
The one other area we may want to think about under 5.2.A is the fact that as my direct supervisors, that if there is a complaint specifically about me, we need to make sure that is an understanding that for that should actually go to the board president.
Okay, I would say, do we want that under procedure or do we want that under policy?
It may be a policy. I just, again, for transparency and for clarity for our employees to know that if they feel that there is something that the superintendent is not doing correctly, they have voice still.
And so about any employee other than the superintendent.
What about business administrator?
But business administrator, it still goes through,
right.
Even though we can hire and fire him.
Right.
Marshall's still his
I'm
supervisor.
I'm still the supervisor there, so. But you are my direct supervisor.
I will add something about the superintendent, and I may send it out to you so that we can play with it before the next board meeting,
okay.
So you can give me some input. And I found I had to write it out because you just can't work with it on there.
Okay, any other discussion? Okay, we need a motion to accept the first reading of the Board Code of Conduct Policy. Okay, it's been moved by Fred that we accept the first reading of the Board Code of Conduct Policy. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Been seconded by Christy Cooley. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. We have a discussion line, but I wonder if we ought to see if this fine young man who is up here visiting.
Do you want to amend the agenda to do that?
If there's something, Alex, that you have that you would like to say, or anything you'd like to do before we go on, is that?
That's fine,
Alex.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mentioned earlier to Zane and to Stacy that I might drop in. I really don't have anything official.
Yeah.
No official.
Come up here. Yep. Well, it's being taped, so you're
and we need
you're
to
live.
Officially introduce him too.
Yes.
This is Alex Buxton, who is with Zions Financial.
Zions Public Finance.
And who has, they have been our financial advisors for a lot of years.
So, anyway, I mentioned to Zane and to Stacy that I might drop in. It's been a while since I've seen you fine folks, and I promised that I would bring bridgements if I came. So I came through on my promise. I guess the only thing that I would mention, since I have the floor, is I wanted to give you a save-the-date invitation for the School Boards Association luncheon that we're going to be having in January, and those invitations will be coming out in November.
And is that the Friday?
That's the Friday. And I thought we ought to maybe do a breakfast for those of you that are going to be staying in Salt Lake. I'd love to host a breakfast either Friday morning or Saturday morning. And I promise not to call Ann's hotel room. Here at 7:30 a.m.
Wake up my sick daughter.
Or maybe we ought to do that just for old time's sake.
Yeah. Or that you not show up. That was the real bad one.
Well, but you, to clarify, I did show up, but there was a miscommunication as to where
I know. I know.
Was, so I think by the time I tracked you guys down, you were in a different room and a different breakfast. So. Come on, Anna.
But anyway, so
we would love to see you guys at that conference, and I'm assuming that you guys will be there in January. But other than that,
I won't be there.
You won't be there.
But
Connie
will be.
There.
Connie Morgan will be our new.
Great. Thank you. Okay, good. But if there's any questions that you guys have on market conditions or anything like that, I'm happy to answer those, but other than that, I didn't have anything formally prepared. I just wanted to come in and see how things were going. So,
okay. Market conditions are in flux.
Market conditions are in flux. They're extremely low. I think the last time I was here at a board meeting was maybe 2-3 months ago, and interest rates are lower than they were at that time. I was looking at the bond rates actually this morning, and over the last couple of months they've dropped a few basis points is all, but over the last year they've dropped over a full percent.
Wow.
since this time 2011.
So now would be a good time to build a school.
Sure. Now would be a good time. I mean, as far as interest rates go, certainly this is, we're at historic low interest rates. So. People ask, what are rates going to do with the election coming up, if one candidate or another candidate? I don't think that bond rates are going to be affected too much either way, regardless of who wins the election. And I do think that interest rates will stay low for quite some time. The government's come out and said they're going to keep rates low for the near long term, if that makes sense. So, mm-hmm. So over the next year or two, I think we're going to be in very historic low rates. So,
I think what we'd really like to do, Alex, is lock in the rate now.
Yeah.
And then we'll pass the bond, and then we'll go back to the rates. Would that be? Could possibly have that.
Get somebody on board where they're at. The only thing to that is if rates go lower, they may want to keep the rates where they're at.
That's true.
So it goes both ways. So,
can you refinance the bonds?
We do. We have.
Can we?
Yes. And Zane's aware that there's a GO bond that can be refinanced at any time, although the call provision is next year. So to do a current refunding, we would do that next year, but there is the opportunity to advance refund. And the MBA bonds, those are callable next year. And Zane and you as a school board, you've been paying down additional principal on those bonds, because when Wells Fargo bought those bonds back in 2008, 2009, Zane, 2008, they allowed the additional an additional principal payment each year of up to $250,000, and you guys have rightly been doing that and paying that extra amount. So you've been paying down that bond, but the entire remaining amount can be refinanced next year in 2013 because there was a five-year call provision. So you do have two bonds that are up for some refunding and refinancing here soon. So we'll certainly continue to monitor those and work with Zane on those.
On our Municipal Building Authority, we do not have to meet yearly, correct?
Have you been meeting yearly?
We have not. We met the first couple of years. We actually had one meeting per year. Yeah, and we don't have to do that anymore then? Because I know for a while we had to have at least a one yearly meeting as a municipal building authority, and we haven't done that the last couple of years. And I didn't know if the law had changed or just what. And I knew you were our advisor with municipal building authority.
Absolutely, and that is more of a legal question for Chapman and Cutler, which I think is who you've used in the past for bond counsel. But really the way those MBAs should work is every year you should meet and you should, as a board, essentially adopt or state that the plan would be to appropriate funds to pay the MBA debt.
So that is perhaps we meet then as the MBA for part of the board meeting instead of just doing that as
appropriate funds.
As a board of education, you have to approve the payment of that bond. You have the budget approval
which we did in the budget
approval of that payment, and we do that when we have the bond budget hearing. As a board of education, you're leasing from the MBA board.
Okay.
Essentially.
Exactly. I just wonder
really
if we've changed
action to take
as an MBA. Okay.
The board makes the appropriation to the MBA, and the MBA makes the pump and makes the payment to the bondholder, which is Wells Fargo.
Okay.
So I think to answer the question, I think what you guys have been doing is great. But that bond we will certainly revisit. That would be something that with the bond election, if the plan would still be to look at that for next year. Those bonds certainly could be part of that ballot language, and you could essentially attempt to try to refinance the MBA bonds with GO bonds, and that's something that you'll have to decide, because typically GO bond rates are lower than MBA bonds rates. So if the voters would approve you to borrow an additional amount in order to refinance the MBA debt with GO debt, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But you could also refinance those MBA bonds with new MBA bonds, and you wouldn't have to get voter approval to do that. So either way, I think it would be a prudent thing for the district to look at refinancing those MBA bonds next year once they become callable.
You would have to meet as an MBA board
if we
to
do
authorize that refinance.
Okay, all right.
Right.
Interesting.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I appreciate you coming.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you for the delicious
treat.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you.
I plan to see you in January, if not sooner.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you. And if we need, we'll talk. We're looking at calendar situations and on that breakfast, then Stacy will make contact with you.
Great.
On whether we're able to do that or not. Thanks
Alex. Okay, we'll now go into a discussion item, and Marshall has the end-of-level proficiency data, so Marshall, if you'd like to.
This presentation actually is about a month later. We normally would have had it at the work session actually a couple of weeks ago. The challenge we have is that the state is changing from the UPass system to the UCAS system. That data is now available for district review with a public review of that, or a public being able to see that, I believe, on November the 19th. It's embargoed for 1 month from the time that we received it. We received it on October 19th. That is utilizing a lot of the new process, same test that we took, but analyzing it using a growth model that is not within this process. So what I've given to you is the proficiency side, which is the scores of a student. If you remember that we, as they take the end of level test, they have defined a 160 as the passing rate, and within that, those that are below, they have a student can get a 1 or a 2, which are not passing, or a 3 or a 4, if they're above 160 or above, which is passing. So what you're seeing here is that is the old process of UPass that we'll still use some of when we get to UCAS, and that materials will be done at the end of November. Well, at that board meeting, we will share with you what that data is. So what I've done is given you the district by everyone, and then I thought it would be important for you to see the ethnicity breakdowns to see what the differences were, and then from there looking at our socioeconomic status, then students with disabilities, our English language learners, and then I don't know if I did mobility or not. I don't believe I did. And then I've been given you individual schools with that same data. Overall, if you look, the reports, and these reports are available under the Gateway. If you were to go to the Gateway under USOE, this data would be there. We have the ability of doing some drill downs you can't find on that, but the same basic information is available on the state website. We have the comparison of the state in language arts, math, and in science. What's been interesting, under UPass, only language arts and mathematics truly were what we looked at and counted. That is not the case for the UCAS system. The challenge we have is that last year they didn't set the rules until the waiver was given, which was in May, which was actually after we had actually taken the test. So when they gave the waiver specifically said science would be weighted equally with everything else. We have not, as a district, focused in on the science. We have focused, but the focus has not been as laser-like as we've done on literacy and mathematics. So under the UCAS system, you'll see scores in that science, though we are, as a district, higher than the state average, but not by much. But that emphasis has not been there. The other thing that is important on the math situation is we made the choice to go a couple of years early into the implementation of the new math core. But the tests haven't changed. So what we have is our score, which again is above the state.
And above what it has been.
Above what it has been, but the reality is that the testing in third, fourth, and fifth grade, as well as our middle school and our high school assessments, were that the curriculum that they did was not the assessments that were given. The assessments actually, in some cases, because things changed in the core from grade level to grade level. So our kids did exceptionally well in math, even though the test did not reflect what they were taught. Now, in some schools, you'll see, as you look through, there was some decline. Some actually stayed the same, some went up. We were very surprised at the score as it is. It will not be changing until the tests change, which we've been told at this point will actually be next year. The State Office of Education is finalizing a request for proposals for a whole new system for the assessments that will be different from our end-of-level test to be piloted next year and then finalized the year after. So as you look at that, we still have gaps. If you look at ethnicity-wise, comparison to the state, we're fairly strong. In most of the areas, we do have some areas that are lagging behind. If you specifically look at our Hispanic population, it is statistically the same as what the state is. In terms of language arts, it's 1.2 less than, which is really basically the same. Our mathematics is actually above that, as well as our science. But compared to the overall, if you look at the gap, we still have a gap in our from Caucasian students to other ethnicities. After you look at that, we look at the socioeconomic status. Again, we're higher than what the state is, but we still have a gap between those who are social, that have an economic status that is, meaning they're getting free or reduced lunch, is still not as high as our students overall, as we're looking at that. There has been some improvement in our science scores over the course of the few years, the last 4 years. We have held fairly steady in our math and a slight increase in our language arts. Students with disabilities is an area that we are continually to have concerns on. Obviously, these are children that, as designated, have learning difficulties to begin with. But we still believe that the gap, even though we are fairly close to what the state average is, that's still not good enough. And so one of the focus areas that we have this year with each of the schools is, and Marcy is kind of taking the lead on this, is how do we better make sure that the IEP goals are set with the ability for the students to have success in the assessments that are being given. And that's a challenge.
Are the IEP goals correlated with the core?
IEP goals in most cases are. Okay. We find at the secondary level has been the hardest transition because as individual classes, they're sometimes taking a language arts course from a special ed teacher versus being in the regular ed. That has caused some challenges because the state also, on another rule, is saying that unless they're highly qualified, they cannot give credit, which is causing some major concerns at the high school level for who should be giving credit. Should the students be in a regular language arts class with support from a resource teacher or resource aides? Or if they're in a situation where they are in a resource setting, how do we ensure that the credits that they're given will be given by a highly qualified teacher by the definitions of the state? This is an area overall that, as you know, as we were in the old UPass AYP process, our students with disabilities was one of those areas that we were coming to the ceiling on. We just weren't able to get them to that next level. We still have got to have a lot of work done in that area. The next one is our English language learners. Again, this is an area, though, we are fairly consistent with what the state is. It's still too low.
And which ELL learners are included in this?
ELL learners on this are emergent and pre-emergent,
okay,
as well as our I'm gonna get this one wrong. They've changed the terminology three times.
They've changed it so much.
They will be counted as long as they have been within the system. Their scores, even those that have gotten to the point of being proficient, are actually still on ours for 2 years. So we have them during the time they have plus 2 years after they've been out of the program. So they're basically the first three levels are, if they're there, they're definitely within this mixture. If they've gotten to levels 4 and 5, if they're within 2 years of that time frame, their scores are also part of this. And if you look at those that are at levels 4 and 5, if we've done individual analysis, especially at the elementary level, we're seeing great success. Those kids are making a major turnaround. But we still are having, within this, one of our biggest challenges over the last couple of years has been our Burmese population, which we were not as prepared for as we are for our Hispanic population. Their numbers have increased, but the learning, they have not come from an area where they've had formal education. So it's truly starting at ground zero. And we've had a tremendous number of students in the middle and high school coming in who have never been in school before. That causes a major challenge because they're so far behind, and they're literally at A is for apple at a process. This area is an area that we, again, Marcy is over ESL. We are working with Janice as to how we can better match resources into with our ESL population. We know that in the elementary level, if we do a pull-out, which has been a traditional program, that the gaps that that's creating for a child as they're in and out of their normal classroom is causing a learning challenge in and of itself. They're just getting just part of the picture. They're not getting any time where there's a full picture. Our push-in programs, as you look through the schools, you can see those that have done more push-in for especially that the level three students, we're seeing great success on, where the ESL teacher is actually going in and co-teaching with and working with or doing pre-teaching, which they'll work with a student on what lessons they are going to be learning in their regular class a day or so beforehand so that they have some basic skill advancement knowledge on that before that they're actually learning it. So it's actually a second, when their regular ed teacher's teaching them, they're actually having it as a second time. So it becomes a reinforcement.
Are these students are they from Burma, are they speaking Karen? Is that what they're speaking?
I don't know. But most of the students that we have are in the Riverwalk apartments.
Okay, that's the area I was going to say.
There are a few out in my neighborhood.
Yeah. They have started to move.
The English Language Center.
Correct.
To try to get a few translators.
There's one translator that I'm beginning to work with. To set up a program in our area, and we're just in the process of getting him set up. He speaks. I know this is them, and
yeah.
And he speaks Karen and can help a lot.
We have area. Through our liaison. The program that we work with is actually run through Cache District for migrant services, which. Because of the status that they are in the United States, mm-hmm. They're considered under some special federal funding. That program is not run by us, but run by the county, but they've been in close contact with us. We have, during the summertime, we've had an aide who's been working with students during the summertime at the clubhouse there at Riverwalk so that they would continue with English services. And Sunday's been very close contact, as well as the ESL teacher at Wilson for that. What we're finding is that as that was their initial placement here within the valley, they have seen that there are different options for them and have started to move out into a situation where we have most of our elementary schools with these wonderful kids. But it does cause it changes our perspective. Just we have to combat their language challenges in a different way than we've had to combat the language challenges for other nationalities.
Well, and to communicate mm-hmm. with parents is a much right. greater challenge.
Which is,
we have
yes.
many people who speak Spanish or Korean or Chinese or whatever. Right. We can find the translators for that, but I need to talk with you because my husband needs... I was talking with English Language Center trying to get them... So similar circumstances, so I need to...
So this is an area, again, you know, in terms of the proficiency level, it's not where we need it to be, and we need to continue to have work. If you notice, though, over for the last year, we actually did see an improvement this last year. There were some focus services as we started to do more push-ins, so we're seeing some improvement, but it's not to the level that we know that we need to be. Then finally, the mobility... Mobility in our district is very interesting. We are finding, because of the number of rental properties within our city, our students are moving a lot between. Our move-outs, though, this year, as we've looked at it, are those that are leaving homes that are purchased by their parents and they're leaving Logan City, going to the county for a larger lot, a larger home, and we're not seeing the mobility of people within non-rentals staying in Logan. I mean, that trend is continuing, and it is one that we have brought up with the city. We will bring up with them next week again, is that a lot of what's happening in the zoning process within the city is not allowing some of our families to stay in Logan. They start with us, but once they get to that third and fourth child, their houses are usually smaller and they are looking elsewhere for their second home. But in the mobility, what this has allowed us to do, and I think that you've seen, you know, as you start looking at these rates, our elementaries are spending more time ensuring that when a child moves from Bridger to Adams or from Adams to Ellis, that the continuity of services is they're not starting over again. The students are having a flow of lessons are fairly consistent, processes are fairly consistent, so that they're not having to reinvent themselves each time they move, because we are finding multiple moves are the norm, not the exception. So they're moving 2 to 3 times within a school year within this group of children. So we are seeing them. We're seeing some good success with them. Percentage-wise is showing we still have a long way to go with that. But, you know, this, I think, is a plus for the district. And then we've gone through each of the individual schools, and I'll take questions on those. I just wanted to go to the back of the materials. One of the things on the proficiency level I wanted to share with you is that the state allowed for schools within the state demographics to be able to be identified in basically a clump of 8 to 10 schools that were like them. And so what you have at the last comparisons of each of the schools is with those schools that are of comparable demographics. On the bottom of each of those sheets, it shares.
Which page are you on, Marshall?
This
174.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I apologize. I have my hard copy that I'm going from, not
we're
on
going,
the
we're going from
online.
The end of that next section, that one.
So
sorry.
As you look at that. You can see on the left-hand side is the language arts, the right-hand side is there's a proficiency and then there's a progress on each one on language arts that we did, I was able to pull off. So the reality is that we're doing strong in terms of the comparison between them and like schools. The challenge with going to UCAS is that they are looking at comparisons without the demographics comparison, which I believe will be one thing that it will take us some time to get used to, because it's also comparing K-6 schools with K-5 schools. And when you talk about growth is measured in a whole new way by taking a child's growth of what their score was, comparing them to as far back as they go with their numbers of tests to the same to the number of students who had the same score back if it was 3 years ago or back 4 years ago, and then seeing how they compare as a group. That's how the comparison goes. Well, the challenge we're going to be seeing is in a K-6 school, they have 3 years of comparison of growth because they have 4th, 5th, and 6th. So we only start testing in 3rd. But in our schools, we only have 2 grades. So when you only have 2 grades of comparison, it is a dip or a change, or is much more dramatic than it is in K-6 schools. But we're going to be compared against them. So there's.
If you count both ways, if you count for us or against.
Right, and in most cases, it is more of a negative under the new growth model than what we've had in the past. So with that, any questions you have on the data that has been given, either on the general or on the specific schools?
It's so different that it doesn't look like what we've had before. So right.
It is because you don't have the other. We had AYP. You had a yes or no, and it was. But this data actually is the same data you had underneath all of that before. Mm-hmm. We just don't have. Which is truthfully, and we're thankful. The adequate early progress process, where literally one little thing just tanked you completely as a school. This is a lot more robust process that we're going to. The challenge is it's so different that we're going to have to spend some time understanding the difference between the proficiency and the growth and how they measure together, so that we can use the data for improvement for next year.
And the higher the progress score, the better. Correct.
Under progress, under what you're seeing here, this is the old progress as defined under the.
This is
not the new progress.
Okay.
Under UCAS in November, we'll be able to share with you that whole progress. That's why I wanted to give you this in terms of the proficiency will stay the same.
Okay.
Proficiency is where we are. I mean that is again who's gotten threes and fours, who has ones and twos.
Okay.
And in terms of proficiency, we look pretty good.
Until we start pulling out some of our groups.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you look at our demographics and what we have, the challenges in front of us, we have done exceptionally well. You look at an Ellis. Ellis is knocking the socks off of things. In terms of, if you look at their direct writing assessment, their DWA score was the highest in the district. Of all of our six elementary schools. You look at the fact that even though they took a dip, they went down from, I believe it was 89% last year, they're at 84 for this year under proficiency. That's still, for a school with almost 80% free and reduced lunch, is just unheard of.
It also appears, tell me if I'm correct, that Hillcrest and Wilson did better this year versus last year. Is that because
Hillcrest did
some help with?
Hillcrest has done better. If you look at Wilson, overall is more static than it is increasing.
But
right.
But they're still up there where, you know, there were a couple of years that we had kind of a dip at those schools, which is why we decided to have them be also Title One. Mm-hmm. And so.
But yes, that assistance is shown. Specifically, we did see more proficiency increase at Hillcrest than Wilson.
Because they had the greater need. All right, that's what I thought.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Okay, we'll go to report from board members. Fred?
We don't have much of a report other than football. Those at the East game, I figured I never missed a court. Anyway.
Okay, thank you. Friday. Ann?
I missed USDA's legislative team, committee met yesterday. I did not go since I was supposed to keep my foot elevated. And you were not invited to that one, I don't think so. But they are starting to meet with some specific people about legislation. I will go to the INTEC board meeting on Thursday. I did, when I walked in the building, I received an email that's dated the 16th of October, and it's to me and to Christy and to Lynn from Mary Morgan, saying that she's on the transition communication responses school team for Logan High. I've been asked to invite members of the school board to attend one of our Wednesday morning team meetings in order to for you as school board members to have the opportunity to participate in team discussions. The transition communication team focuses on ways to better improve communication via the school teachers, school to district, and school to parents. It would be really helpful if one or more members of the school board attend these meetings. I'll send out an agenda and meeting times to you when I get them. So, I don't know if that meeting's tomorrow. You probably just got it when you walked in today, too, possibly. We need to decide
if they're meeting tomorrow.
We, you know, since we've said that if we're invited, we would go to those. Why? Probably because she knows me. But anyway, who wants to respond to this? Do we want to set up a rotation of somebody going to their?
What we can do is they don't meet every they have meetings every week, but not necessarily RST meetings every week. Stacy's texting Shane right now to see whether or not tomorrow is one of those dates. But I think it would be helpful if we got the dates and then made a determination if you three wanted to rotate, and we would ensure that somebody was there each time.
And I just, you know, we've encouraged them to invite us. Yeah. So I just didn't even know I had
that. And that was a transitions team?
She sent me a follow-up, because I replied to that, and she sent me a follow-up that I got before my iPad died, there is a meeting tomorrow.
Okay.
And you probably can't go to
what time?
I don't know. What time is it, Christy? Do you know?
They would start at 7:30, 7:40.
Something like that.
You probably can't go.
No, I can't go.
I can go to it.
Do you want to go tomorrow morning? We need to know where.
Okay, yeah. If you'll just email me tonight, or if you find out where it's at and what time,
Stacy will find that out.
That would be nice, I think. And if we can keep some people going and let them know that if they want to invite us to other meetings, we're more than willing to go. That's great that we're invited, and I was pleased to see that. Also, we are meeting next week, correct, with the City Council?
Yes, that was one of the things on the calendar items. It'll be at 5:30 here, and when we get to calendar items, I'll ask some more information from you.
All right, and I think that the one thing I did think about is, as we get to next year's schedule, when we're our school meetings, we may have a challenge with Connie working during the day in our Monday meetings, just as Jim has one. So we may want to look at that schedule.
Okay. How many do we have starting in January? Stacy, we've done two. So we have two more?
We have a February on the 11th, a Woodruff in March on the 11th. So we have two.
So February and March. Mm-hmm. What that would be, Connie, is four times a year we go to the school during school time to have...
The one on the 11th during spring.
And what that allows us is for the school to share. They do different things. Each school has the opportunity. We usually do that at 1 o'clock or at 2 o'clock, depending on when they end, when the school day ends for them. And then we come back here and finish up the work session starting at about 2:30 or 3:30. Okay. We do that, we rotate, so four schools 1 year, four schools the next.
Okay. Thank you, Ann. Jim?
We have Eastbourne Governing Board meeting on Thursday. I'm going to. We're currently engaged in doing a research project in the district on classroom amplification again. There's been some new research published suggesting that classroom amplification works well in classrooms that are noisy. It has no advantage in classrooms that are relatively quiet.
Interesting.
So we've instigated a couple of projects to see that we can demonstrate that it actually helps children in both kinds of settings. So we've done one study at Bridger, which didn't work. So we revised it. We've done another one at Adams. And we're doing one at Ellis. So that's it's undergoing now. We'll be through by first week in November collecting data. That may be something we want to present at USBA next year.
That would be good.
Where would that be? Be East again?
Mm-hmm. Honest.
Yeah.
For NSBA?
Midwest. Chicago.
We can check.
And one of my questions, I noticed on some of our trust lands money, at Bridger, they were wanting to use land trust money to improve their systems because they've been there the whole time. We don't have a budget for...
We have a budget for transition for that, but some of them wanted to accelerate it at a higher rate,
okay.
A faster rate.
Because I was just surprised that would be something that they would put for land trust money rather than... that it's part of their technology or their whatever budget. It's not really
I believe
technology.
As we start looking at this next year, as I talk with Dave, we'll have a whole different process of what the expectations are, and it will allow us to have a different discussion under land trust.
Okay. Well, Well, and as we visited the middle school, Christy and I noticed how many teachers had their mics on. We did that little checkup for you. Yeah. Every class we went to, they had their mic on.
I think most of the schools is like that. I think they're using them more and more.
More and more. More and more.
We have a few teachers who have the teacher voice. They don't need it. It's hard to convince them. We still have a problem in making sure that every classroom is set at the appropriate level at the beginning of the year.
And sometimes during the summertime, as they've done cleaning, they've moved things, and not realizing that, you know, when you touch those, that they have to be recalibrated.
So I'm working with another student. I'm figuring out how to use an iPhone or a regular cell phone with a little sound level meter, and a teacher could use it to set their own system pretty easily. So hopefully that'll be done by the end of this year too, and I can make a recommendation to the district on how to do that. So I'm working on it.
Thanks, Tim. Christy.
And I have to follow that. Whoa. I've been doing a lot of elections, which started today, early voting starting today, which has been very crazy at the clerk's office. Lots of people participating in early voting. So you guys are welcome to come and early vote anytime.
So does this mean I have to face a long line at the clerk's office?
I tell people the longer they wait to vote, the longer their line's going to be.
That didn't answer my question.
So it depends on how long you wait.
Well, if
you
came
tomorrow.
No, probably the Thursday.
I was up at Utah State, and they had one of the sessions was up there, and and they did not have a line. And in fact,
Utah State might have a small
in the Taggart Center.
Yeah,
okay,
there is one there. So I apologize that my life has been crazy, but it shall end in November. That's very nice, and won't start up again for another couple years.
Are we taking bets on that?
Yes,
that
I am.
Your life will get less crazy.
Yes, totally. But I've had an enjoyable time watching the girls' volleyball team this year play volleyball. We have some fantastic kids that are playing, as well as we've had some remarkable coaches. And I've spent some time a little bit at the high school, hanging out there, visiting with people that I've interacted with there, and that's been fun too. So
okay.
That's all I have to report.
I just have a couple items. I have a meeting, the Fast Forward Board of Directors. We have a meeting this Thursday. It sounds like Thursday's the meetings for most of our things. It was interesting as I heard that. The other thing I'd like, is there anything that any of you have that you would like to see discussed on the agenda for the next week? Any concerns or any items that you would like to...
Do you want us to just email you?
If you have any over the next little bit,
well,
if you would.
I'd kind of like to get a sense of, I mean, we've worried about morale a lot. If that's about the same or better or worse across the district. And I don't know how we would measure that, Marshall, but...
Well, we will be doing our ISQ. That is, and that will happen in January again. Okay. So we'll have at least some data by the middle of end of February, 1st of March.
My perception is things are going well, but I just don't. Yeah. I don't have a sense of that. So
that's good.
That's how teachers are feeling.
Okay, we could on that, Marshall. Anything else? What right off your thinking? If you just let me know, send me an email if you have anything along that. Okay, Zane, anything you have from the report from...
My mouth.
Well, I timed that. I waited till you just put something in so I could call on you. Okay, Zane, if you have nothing else, we'll now move on. I'm just kidding. Okay, Zane?
Yes, sir.
The audit is mostly wrapped up. We're a beta tester for the states. New clearinghouse type thing, and I've got to get that uploaded to them so they can generate my financial report. We had to do a new actuarial study on our post-retirement benefit program.
Yeah.
And we got that back, but they'd done it under GASB 45 and GASB 27, but we used GASB 47, and so we had to send it back and have them redo that. And so that's really all we're waiting on, to get things finished up with the audit. They want to have that back before they put that financial report together. So that's about done. Preliminarily, I feel like maybe we have turned the corner for the good. So I'm feeling better about things. We'll see how things land. We'll give an audit preview at our next work session, and then you could formally accept the audit at our next regular board meeting. Okay. So that's the plan with that. Moving forward with our new accounting system conversion, we'll be running parallel payrolls next week. Their trainer will be here for 4 days. So right now we're frantically trying to compare what's in our current system with what's been uploaded into the new accounting system for payroll. That's the big thing. We're using it right now for our accounting, paying our bills and all those things, and it seems to be working well. I still haven't done anything as far as financial reporting, so I don't have anything for you guys on that. All of the payroll stuff that we've been running so far has been in the old accounting system, and so all those journal entries I need to do in the new accounting system before it really means anything, I guess. What I've got is two systems, and until those merge, I really don't have a financial report to provide you that's worth the paper that it's written on to speak of. So hopefully we'll have that put together soon. But other than that, things are going pretty good.
Okay. Thank you, Zane. Marshall?
This coming week, Shane, Mike Monson, and myself will be having our intensive training for the administrative evaluation pilot. We'll be meeting down in the Davis District. It's a combination of the northern Utah districts that are involved in both the teacher evaluation pilot as well as the administrative. We are thankful at this point that we're only in the administrative evaluation process. It is fairly intense, and our goal is to how do we do this in a way that allows for the growth opportunities in it but doesn't become such a time-consuming process that it's almost to the point where you don't have any time to do anything else other than the evaluation. And I think that's kind of where we are as a state. What they've actually backed off of the word pilot, even, and they're saying this is our first year of experimentation to determine how to go through it, because as many districts were saying they wanted to do half of their schools, half of their teachers, and they went back and said there's just no physical way, we just can't do that many, it's just too intense. So there's been a lot of changes within that, and the state's been good about accommodating, and so we'll be going through some experimentation this year with more piloting probably next year, and then the final implementation is the following.
Is the legislature okay with that? Because this is legislative mandate.
They are being kept informed, especially Senator Osmond, and because of that consistent conversations, he's feeling comfortable with what we're doing, and he's willing to run and make sure that he's running interference for us in case there are those legislators who are feeling that we're not doing enough, because he is seeing
like the grading of the schools
correct
back up on that.
Okay. Right. So that portion, and we just found out today that most of this is done electronically. The challenge has been is they've promised some things that haven't yet occurred, so we're trying to work on getting what I consider vaporware into actual real software so we can actually do what we need to do. It's an exciting process in terms of self-evaluation, self-assessment, and from there the development of a growth plan, and within those goals that are based upon the standards. We have had a growth process in our current evaluation system, but this one allows for it to go much more in depth and much more focused. So I'm excited about that, and the ability to have a lot more communication and data. One of the areas, and we will be reconvening the evaluation committee probably in November to kind of let them know. We were waiting on finding out what's from the state, where they were on some things, and we
we believe that the state is not at a point of having a lot of discussions yet and decisions made on the performance portion in terms of what's the definition of what is performance and what will that look like, because they are changing assessments and they don't know what to actually land on. And they also have not determined the portion on parent and student and for administrators, teacher input. That portion of it has not been decided. But one of the areas that I believe that we do have, our committee can be of assistance with us, is there's a heavy emphasis on other lines of evidence. What are the lines of evidence to use for administrators? I mean, obviously I can't go in and observe them like they're observing teachers. They can go into a classroom, it's a setting, and from that they can elicit a lot of things that are on that evaluation. But for an administrative evaluation, it's more on, you know, what are their artifacts out there, and what are the predominant artifacts that would allow for me to determine a level of effectiveness. Are they effective or highly effective? So we're going to go through that, but we believe that the committee can help us in determining what that list is going to look like. And so we'll be starting that discussion with them in November. We had hoped by this time that we would have the recommendations from the state on performance so that we could then make the determination of how we wanted to tweak it, because we have the right to do some tweaking if necessary at the local level, but can't tweak something that's not done yet. That training, I'll probably give you an update on that in our November work session.
Did you have a comment about how they're going to acquire public comment? Did you say that?
They still have not determined how to do that, so it doesn't become just a popularity contest.
On how to get public comment on people who don't really interact
and that is another major sector, and we're finding just even in the administrative evaluation, it is very focused in on the school level administrator. But what about the three administrators here that have to be part? Where does performance come in for them? How is that measured? How do we take the standards and morph them enough so that they have a clear picture of what expectations are as well? Because if not, majority of theirs would be not applicable just because of the nature of their positions. And those that are further away from whose jobs are very necessary but are not necessarily connected to curriculum and to the classroom instruction process, they're kind of sitting out there in a quandary. So there's more unknowns than there are knowns right now within that system, but they are working on them, and we're hoping that next week we'll at least have some better answers.
Now, does the thing that Tammy's working on with the lieutenant governor fall?
That's civics.
Oh, so it doesn't have anything to do with that at all.
No. That's a separate process. Character education and civics in the classroom, based upon the state law that was passed last year, and we have a report that's due by December 15th as to what we're doing to promote civics and to promote character education.
Probably the rest of you received a survey about that, and I thought I'm not going to fill this out because I really don't have an up to date what we really are doing.
I would really appreciate if you would send that to me. I have not seen anything. In fact, what came from the only thing that I have received is what Tammy has sent to us. I have not received anything from the lieutenant governor's office or anybody else. So, if it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't for Tammy, we would not be knowing what's going on. And I really appreciate her work with us on that. As we start looking at November. Obviously, this week and next week, we have our first round of playoffs. Over this last week, there's been some interesting processes going on through the Utah High School Activities Association. We are one of the schools that is directly affected by the decisions that they made, both on Thursday and then the reversal of it on Friday, specifically the one on Friday. Shane and Claire went to
the
meeting.
They were right on TV.
Yes. They were there yesterday at the meeting that explained that they would not make any changes from their Friday decision. We are still very concerned. We have voiced that concern with the Activities Association, that the precedence that they've set is one that is putting the entire structure, we believe, on a very shaky base. With that being said, we will be playing 10th U at 3:00 on Friday. If you want to put that down, it will be at our field. We have home court advantage.
This Friday?
Yes, we are. It is interesting that of the five top schools as defined by the papers, et cetera, four out of the five are in the lower bracket, which is where we are. And that imbalance is a challenge. So we will, you know, Mike is with his boys are going to be doing the best, and they're going to do a good job, and they're getting prepared to play a very challenge. Is the number two school in the state, but we believe we will still prevail as we did against the number one team in the state last week. We did beat East handily,
yes,
51-34.
Handily. Maybe you could add that to your list of things that I'd like to discuss in the future.
What's
that? The Utah Athletic Association
Activities
Association function. I would like to have some discussion on that because I don't really understand how the correlation is. I know we have a representative from our region that sits on a committee, but I would like to have a conversation about how that...
The governance has changed. In fact, we were having a discussion this afternoon. They've changed the entire structure in the last couple of years, and what it might be good is to have someone from the Activities Association come up and talk to us, or we can get, I believe it's Bart. Is Bart?
We ought to get our representative. He's from Box Elder.
I thought that we made a switch. We did not make a switch.
Still in.
So we will bring him over and maybe have him spend some time with us on what the current status is.
Well, and at USBA this year, we should be electing, shouldn't we?
I thought we were supposed to last year.
I did too, but...
They're on a three-year rotation.
Yeah. And remember, we talked in Ogden. Anyway, the people who were on there were going to rotate, but I think it's changed because now Ogden's no longer in with us. And
part of it was the reason there was a, as I remember, when we made the changes last year from 3A to 4A,
mm-hmm.
it changed who was involved in the region reorganization, changed the rotation. And the challenge we have is that now with reclassification every 2 years and their term being 3 years,
it's going to be
and if you're a district like we are, which is on the bubble, we can go back and forth between 3A and 4A multiple times within a decade.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be safe. I believe we'll be safe, but not everybody in our region will be safe. We will be seeing changes in our region, especially at the 4A, 5A situation. Because both Mountain Crest and Skyview technically by numbers should be in 5A.
Mm-hmm.
But that process, there's a disconnect that we might be in a situation where we have no representation within the predominant schools that are within a region. And that's an issue that I think they'd like to hear from them discuss with them. So we might be able to, Stacy may want to put that down as getting in touch with Rob and see if he could come up.
And maybe we could have a discussion prior to that just about the fundamentals and how.
That's what I'm saying is the fundamentals.
We can
and
do.
Then have him come.
And Christy, we did, when we were first on the board at USBA's convention, they actually came and explained the structure, how there are board members on this committee and there are principals on this committee and coaches on this committee. And that was really helpful to have those rules and everything else discussed. And that's something I think, especially with all these...
We've not seen, at least in the 6 years that I've been involved,
I think it would be helpful
have discussions.
To have something there. And on that discussion of things we should discuss with some of the issues that have come up with the fundraising and advisors to, you know, athletic teams. I think we've done some work on a fundraising policy, but there are now some guidelines.
The reason for that is we're waiting for the guidelines of the state, which is going to have its first reading a week from this Friday. I just received it today. I'll be going down tomorrow for the initial look as superintendents of that policy.
And then we can work on our policy.
I've given it to Zane to look at and give me some feedback on before I go to that meeting tomorrow.
And then we'll want to get that going on our district level, whether that...
Right now, the tentative date, as they said, it needs to be in place by September 2013.
And they'll get it to us by August 31st.
Well, if this goes through, it will be done. It will be in final form by December. At their December meeting, it will go through all of their readings, which means it does, for the first time, we're actually getting something that gives us time to be able to then do our policies. But it's fairly specific as to what needs to be in our financial policies, including that of all aspects, including booster clubs, et cetera.
And student activity counts, that
yes.
kind of thing.
I think you're going to see a lot of changes made, a lot of problems come out of this decision with East.
I think
because, you know, it's been, 6 years since I've been on the high school act, too. So I was on there for 9 years, I guess, is when I served. And to see what happened this time is just unheard of what took place.
Well, I think we have
at least the way it was set up originally when I was there, you know, to go through the Board of Trustees, the ones that does the appealing, and it's different than what it was originally set up, so we could have a great discussion on.
I would love to, because I don't even understand any of it.
Okay.
Is that it?
Any clarification on the meeting next Tuesday?
Yes, next Tuesday. We're going to handle it on the calendar items, but we can go into that if that's okay.
Yeah. Let's